How's it going, everyone? It's
Uh-oh.
recently we saw the Rockets. Reed Shepard had a career game against the Golden State Warriors. Last game they played against Utah, they did not lose. They blew them out the game before. So we're going to be talking about those three. Reed is now in the starting lineup. So how that looks going forward and more. But before we start, we got to jump to B Scott, man. He's going to put y'all on the prize picks.
So Prize Picks is the best place to win cash while you're watching sports. The app is really easy to use. All you got to do is pick more or less on a few player stats, points, assists, whatever it is you want. And you could win up to 2,000 times your cash on a single lineup. The best of all, Prize Picks will give you $50 in lineups when you play your first $5 lineup. So that's basically free $50. Win or lose, you'll get 50 bucks in lineups just for playing. So just use the promo code ROCKETS and download the app now. It's Prize Picks, where it's good to be right.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And before we jump into Rockets Hoops again, I'm going to jump into Will so he can share something he's been working on. We're collaborating with. So whenever you're ready, Will, I'll share screen
Okay.
with you.
Yeah. Pull it up for me. Let me know when it's live because I had to click off.
All right, let's go. It's live.
I can see it. Okay. So thank you, Brad, for the introduction. Basically, what I have been shouting out on all of my podcasts, on the live streams we do on Twitter, TikTok, whatever, is I've partnered with Kids Harbor. It is a shelter for abused and abandoned children. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to give them away some brand new shoes for Christmas and give them a basketball clinic. So I'm gonna have some of, y'all know him, DeAndre. I'm gonna have him and some other guys go out there and they're gonna give them some basketball drills. Brad's gonna be there helping out. J-Dub is another guy who y'all know is gonna be there. He's gonna DJ for the kids as well. But basically we're gonna go out there, give them some shoes for Christmas, give them a quick basketball clinic, just show us some holiday spirit. I did want to just once again shout out for the everybody who did not know. If you want to hear the long form of what we're trying to do, I broke it down in this minute long video. There's also a GoFundMe link where I kind of break down even more. But basically what I need everybody to do, if you have not done so already, is simply, right, I know everybody can't financially give, so just hitting the retweet button goes a very long way, and nothing else, hitting the share button, copying the link, sending it to your friends, sending it in your group chat, telling your family about it, because it's holiday season, so obviously now it's probably around a time you're gonna be around a lot of your family members. And then we do have a fundraiser. And honestly, bro, it's going pretty good right now. If I do say
that's
so
solid,
myself.
That's solid.
Yes, yeah. Sir. It's been going great right now. I want to once again thank everybody who has already donated. Everybody's already shared. Obviously, huge shout out to you guys as well for making this possible. The shoes have been ordered, and then I also ordered some basketballs for them today. But that doesn't mean we're done taking donations. Literally everything that we raise is going to invest it right back into them. So there's some other things that I want to get them for this holiday season. And then if there's say $100 left over, we'll just donate it right to this shelter itself. So keep donating, keep sharing, keep letting everybody know about it. And like I said, if you've already shared or donated or whatever, you've done your part. I appreciate you 100%. And I want to just reiterate this, before I end it. This is not me or Brad or J-Dub or anybody else. This is the Houston community coming together to do something good for the Houston community. So I appreciate everybody who's already kind of tapped in with that. But I'm good, bro. You can take it off the screen now.
All right. Yeah, that's all good. Will, we appreciate you. And as we mentioned, we're back to Rockets Hoops. The Rockets, since we last recorded, have gone 2-1 again. It seemed like everybody sat against Golden State and they still pulled that game off. Reed had a career game. KD comes back in that first Utah game. They blow him out. They're by 28 points. It was easy, done by the third quarter. And again, they lost recently in the first back-to-back of the season. No Steven Adams, came out flat and just fell short. Almost came back from 21 points. Got it to one after a KD three, but bad mistakes down the stretch. Again, couldn't pull it off. But I just want to start with, the starting lineup change. Will has mentioned this time and time again, if you throw Reed Shepard into that starting lineup, you almost want to keep him there. You don't want to take away his confidence. Ime Udoka has mentioned it's still going to be fluid, so I'm still curious to see what's going to happen, especially when Dorian Finney-Smith comes back. And I know we're going to get comments. When's he coming back? What's the update? We don't know. I promise you, we don't know. So I want to get y'all's thoughts. B. Scott, we'll start with you. The starting lineup change, of course, you can talk about what he did against Golden State too, but what do you think about, Reed starting going forward?
Man, so I was always an advocate for it. I wanted it even in the beginning, even though I knew it would be rocky. And it probably wasn't even the best idea. I wanted it almost in spite of, because I thought and still think that his development is just that important to the team. And look, I don't think you're really sacrificing much out there, given the addition to Kevin Durant and the progression that you've seen from Alper Şengün. It's not like he's a completely different player, but he's even better now, I feel like. And last night was a great example of that. So I thought, what I think is, it's important for on the coaching staff to figure out a way to scheme around Reed's defensive shortcomings, because we saw this in the Utah game, right? Like, there, he's going to be hunted. He's improved, but he's going to be hunted. He's going to be a liability on defense. So you got to be able to account for that, right? But I always thought from the beginning that between the coaching and their personnel, that they should be able to compensate for what Reed Shepard's shortcomings are and what he's lacking defensively. Like, that is a challenge that I wanted them at least to be up for. And so I like seeing him out there in the starting lineup. I know he didn't have his best game per se last night, but I mean, bro, since we have not talked about this yet, 25 shots against Golden State.
Yeah. Yeah.
25 shots. I mean, that's got to be at least what, 7 or 8 more than he's ever taken in his career. Like,
so before the 25, 13 was his most this season before that game. He damn near doubled his attempts.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and that's this season. I think he had maybe a 15 or 17 last year, but way more than he's ever taken. And I was like, okay, y'all got confidence in Reed to do that on the road against Golden State, who, like, we can debate on what we think of Golden State, but it still is the Warriors. And I'm like, okay, you know, out there, I saw Will's TikTok saying the streets is out there saying that, you know, tongue in cheek saying the streets is out there saying Reed Shepard's better than Steph Curry. Why not get ahead of ourselves, man? Like, you know, obviously just having fun with that. But yeah, I like it. I was always here for it. And so I want to see more of it. Obviously, you want to see him be better than he was yesterday. But, you know, and what do they do about him being hunted defensively is really the big question about it.
Yeah. Will, what would you say?
I'm going to say I kind of would prefer if he didn't start right now, just because I think we're noticing a lack of aggression from him in the starting lineup. And I think a lot of that is not necessarily just because he's afraid. It's more of, like, it's less shots for him to go around when he's playing next to a man, next to Katie, next to Şengün, right? Whereas when he's come off the bench, when the certain guys go to the bench, it would be like him and Katie out there. And so he would get, Katie would get the primary usage. Reed would get the secondary usage. And now he's like the fourth, maybe even fifth option starting the five. And I feel like we're not getting the best of Reed because we're not really using him the way that he's probably supposed to be used when he's starting. And so, like, I have no issue with him starting and I guess closing games for that matter. I just don't like the fact that he's not being, because, like, how many shots did he take last time? Like, I know it wasn't nine. That many, bro. Couldn't have been double digits.
No, I think it was 8 or 9.
He shot 8 shots. Yeah. And he really wasn't on the ball that much. So, you know, like, and I'm not necessarily complaining, because, like, I get it. He's starting, and obviously you want Katie and you want Şengün, you want him to have the ball a bit more, right? I get that. But I feel like one of the luxuries of having him come off the bench was he was that spark plug, and he did get all that usage off the bench. And, you know, he's starting, so he doesn't really get that as much. So if he's going to continue to start, which, I mean, like I said, I don't necessarily have an issue with, I just hope they stagger it a bit better, so where, like, we do have those lineups where he is still out. Like, we have, honestly, my two cents on it, two of Şengün, Katie, Amin, and Reed should be on the court at all times. There should never be a scenario where three of those guys are on the bench at the same time. And so hopefully we just stagger it to where if it's, I think, like, we've been doing, like, Reed and Katie and Amin and Şengün. I think that makes a lot of sense. And just making sure that whenever if we're going to start Reed, just making sure that we still give him those opportunities in those second units where he can kind of be a bit more aggressive, have the ball in his hands a bit more, shoot the ball a bit more. Like, I think that's one of the reasons why he went off against Golden State. It was because there was no KD. And so it's like, well, somebody has to take those shots because KD's not here. And so, yeah, I just want him to still have opportunity to be aggressive, to still be himself, to still have the ball in his hands, to still create for himself and for others. And I feel like if he's starting, he's not really getting the most opportunity to do that. So just how I feel about it. Uh-oh, Brad is, he's not at home right now, ladies and gentlemen.
So, and I wanted to hear what Brad had to say about it, man.
Yeah, okay, we can hear you now. We can hear you.
I'm good. I'm back. Yes, sir. All right. I was gonna piggyback off what you were saying, because one of the main things that I liked about Reed's game in Golden State was his playmaking abilities. I thought he made some really impressive passes. He was making some wild skips. The vision was there. And that, of course, to Will's point, it comes when the ball is in his hands. And when you're playing with, you know, Alperen Şengün, who's getting doubled every single time, damn, he touches the rock. Same with Kevin Durant. Those guys are going to be touching the rock primarily. And we've seen the men take a lot of that load on ball as well. But I would like to see Reed have the ball more when he's playing with those kind of guys, not just playing a catch and shoot role. He was 3 of 7 from three in that last game against Utah. And again, he only took 8 shots, so he wasn't really getting to the cup. He was just, you know, getting his threes off. But I'd like to see him be more aggressive for sure, have the rock in his hands a little more and kind of run the show. I thought that's when he looked at his best. And again, you want to get that Fred VanVleet replacement. I see the potential with Reed Shepard. And the playmaking abilities, the vision that I've seen from him recently is very impressive. I think he can get to that point. So if you're going to start him, cool. He's been playing like he deserves to, and it makes sense. But I don't want to see that style of play change. But, of course, that's going to naturally change when you're playing with a KD and Şengün. But they got to find a way to integrate it to where it's smooth and it's still flowing and Reed's still able to play his game. So I definitely hear what Will's saying.
Yeah, he's just not at home. He's in a hotel right now, so it's gonna be a little spotty.
I'm passing it off.
I'll say finish it up.
What's the last thing y'all heard? What's the last thing y'all heard
that you said about me? And then you think he was like, I heard Will's point or something like that, and then you kind of.
Yeah. I was just saying to your point, if he's not gonna be starting, it makes sense because you want more usage for him when he's on the court. So if he's going to start, they got to find a way to integrate it better. That's where I wanted to land my point before my screen glitches up again. But yeah, outside of that,
can I just say on that point though, I do feel like that's like you can have like that's fixable. Like that's just a matter of staggering it better, kind of what Will was saying. And even in this last game, it's like there were odd moments I thought in the game where you didn't have. Where you didn't have Alperen or KD in the game. And like, I feel like it's a matter of exactly what Will said. Like there should be some combination of those guys out there if they start fine, but also have those stretches where you're letting Reed run the show. Like it feels like there's room for 5 to 7 minutes of just Reed. You know, hey, Reed, you're in charge for 5 to 7 minutes or whatever it is. Like, there's room for that.
I agree. But if Reed's again,
yeah, okay, we got you. Go.
All right, yeah. So you got the Kings next. Ideally, it's gonna be a good bounce back game. So I'm looking forward to that. So, Will, going forward against the Kings, you know, they just lost a tough one against Utah. You know, what do you want to see in that one? Then we'll go to B. Scott.
For like a starting five?
Not a starting five will stay the same. Just in general, you know, on a bounce back game wise.
Oh, just win. I don't know. We didn't beat them last year, did we? Is that one of the teams
we didn't beat? No, we didn't beat them. 0-3.
We played them, three times and didn't beat them.
0-3 and then 0-2 against the Nets. So, yeah.
So, yeah, win. Beat a team you didn't beat at all last season. It dropped the game they weren't supposed to drop last night. But, I mean, you can make up for it by winning these next couple games coming up. So I just win.
Yeah.
Yeah. Could I just say, don't play like last night. Like that would be my simple. I'll make a very simple. I'm a simple man. Look, I can deal with them splitting a road back to back against the Jazz. Like it's not the end of the world, right? They lost the game, but like them out there not really rebounding and defending the way I would really expect them to on a consistent basis. And credit the Jazz, they made some tough shots, I thought. But like, just play back up to your standard, I would say, is what would be my request. But I'm not like griping too much about it. But it was just, you know, it was second night of a back to back. We can kind of expect a little bit of a lull there. But the defense, I thought, left a lot to be desired last night. So just get back to who you are.
Yeah, they got out-rebounded in that game, this Rockets team. Steven Adams or not, should never get out-rebounded. I do not care. It's unacceptable. Lost the rebounding battle, I believe, by 6. And they also turned the ball over more than the Utah Jazz. Another thing I think is unacceptable. But there's no game you should lose when Amen Thompson plays well. Şengün has 31, 14, 5, like, and 2. Like the first time anyone has ever put up that stat line, 31 points, 14 assists and 5 blocks. and you're losing a game against the Jazz. Like, just sleepwalking on defense and, again, not getting rebounds. Back-to-back, you can call it. I don't want to give them that excuse. I don't care. They were the only team in the league to not play back-to-back. They had the blessing of a schedule, and they were chilling. And then you get your first back-to-back, and you lose. But it's basketball. You can't win them all. I understand. It's not the end of the world. You know, they're, what, 13-5? It's a really good team so far. So keep it rolling, and we'll see what happens. And another quick stat. Hopefully, I don't die out here with the connection. But they have a plus, I want to say, 191 on the season so far, which is absurd. That's absurd. That is, like, the best they've ever had through 18 games. I know it's very specific, so I'll pull the stat through 20 games. But that's the best they've done, point differential-wise, through
18 games. That's a good stat.
So,
I didn't know that. That's a good stat.
It's a good stat. They're blowing teams out. 9 games they've won by more than 20. I want to see that against the Kings.
Hey, look, so since Brad jumped, I was trying to catch the silence.
Cut out again. All right, go ahead. I was going to say, with KD being back, what do y'all want to see from him primarily? He did start slow in that last game, which was tough.
I'll go. I mean, I feel like with KD, it's really simple, right? Just make your shots, right? Like, I said it a while now. I don't really hate KD's shot selection. I think for, like, 99.9% of basketball players, the shots that KD takes are bad shots. But when you're Kevin Durant and you consistently make shots that are that difficult with, you know, regularity, you live with them. And, like, I don't think KD takes bad shots per se. I think the issue I have with KD is never his shot selection. It's how loose he is with his dribble and his passing. I think those are things he has to clean up. So I think he had 5 turnovers against the Jazz last game, and that's just unacceptable. You don't need to be having 5 turnovers. But yeah, with KD's shots, like, I'm never gonna sit here and say, oh, that was a bad shot for KD. He gets to a spot, he rises up, he's taller and has longer arms than like 90% of people in the league, and so. He doesn't see those contests. They don't affect his jump shot. So, just make them, right? He had an off game from a scoring perspective. And like I said, that was compounded by the fact that he had 5 turnovers. And those are things that you obviously cannot do. And they were 5 bad turnovers. I want to say a lot of them were turnovers that, like, led to transition opportunities for the other team. So, different stuff like that. Like, he has to clean that up. And I mean, I think he's fine. I'm never going to be. I'm at the point now where I don't ever get worried about Şengün or KD if they struggle. I think those are two guys who've shown me what they're capable of in a large enough sample size to where I know that, you know, if we're in a game 7, they'll be there. Like, I'm not going to question that. It's other guys who have a bit more concerns for. So I'm not even like he'll be fine. Even if he doesn't bounce back against the Kings, it's not going to be like it won't be long. That's what I'm trying to say. Like, I'm not really worried about him.
I agree.
Bro, I'm just glad to have him back.
Yep.
Like, honestly, like, it's not a beggars can't be choosers type of situation, but, like, we Rockets fans need to understand, like, this is rare air right now. So, like, I'm just glad to have him back, to be honest. I would co-sign what Will is saying about the handle and the turnovers. And sometimes, like, in this last game, it felt like, and it's almost weird to say this about KD because he's KD. So, like, I'm about to say it felt like he was pressing. I don't know. KD can pretty much get away with anything. But I felt like he was, you know, his game is like he's best when he's just kind of like smooth. He's aggressive, but he's kind of smooth with it. I felt like he was pressing a little bit and kind of let the game come to him a little bit more in in that fourth quarter. He had 16 points in the fourth quarter, you know. So, like, he I feel like he figured it out. But, yeah, like, KD, I'm just glad to have back. You know, and want to see him out there healthy and aggressive, man. Like, I wouldn't worry about KD as much as, like,
that he wants. Sometimes it does. It could look like he's forcing the issue for sure, but it's just like, yeah. It's only a good shot for, like, a Kevin Durant as player.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Of course, they have much more of a chance to win whenever he's out there. And the next upcoming stretch, again, Kings should be smooth. We got another back-to-back against the Suns and the Mavericks, I want to say. That's going to be a good stretch of back-to-back basketball. So I want to see how he looks in both of those. But, yeah, I mean, no big deal for me. Again, he takes a lot of pressure off of the rest of the guys on the team, and scoring was not the issue in that pass game. It was defense. So, yeah, the main thing with me, again, is just the passing. I think he makes a lot of lazy passes out of double teams or just the one-handed bounce passes, maybe it's telegraph. Those are things I want to see him improve on. But mean, outside of that, no, never. I won't have a complaint about KD unless he's not being aggressive enough, which we saw against OKC. But hasn't been a problem since, so I'm not tripping off any of that. But yeah, so we're 20 minutes through this show. If you're still listening, you know, like, subscribe again. Throw a question if you're with us in the live stream.
And we'll somebody asked about Tyler Smith. I saw we signed him.
Yeah.
I know nothing about Tyler Smith. Nope, nothing. I don't know. I think he played for the Bucks last year. Matter of fact, I want to say he might have been in OTE with Amen. I think him and Amen might have been there at the same time. But I don't know nothing about his game. If I saw him in the crowd, I couldn't pick him out. I have no idea who he is. So I regret to inform you. I cannot educate you on that one at all, man. I think he said he's 6'11", right?
He's a Houston kid.
He's from Houston?
Yeah, I think if I'm not mistaken, I think he's from out here where I'm at, Fort Bend. I think he's a Fort Bend.
They said he was born in Louisiana, but then he relocated to Texas after they were
George Bush
by Hurricane Katrina.
Yeah, yeah.
George so Bush from up the road.
Yeah. But I mean, I don't know much about his game, to be honest. That's a cool story though. Hometown kid gets a two-way deal with the hometown team. Cool.
Yeah, Will said, I don't know nothing about him, but you know.
Yeah, he was on the Cold Hearts the same year Amen was there.
Let's see, looks like he did G League Ignite. Yeah, I don't.
Oh, so yeah, he was the OTE to Ignite pipeline.
Yeah,
and he's only what 20? He's only 21. So
yeah, he's a young boy.
6'9". Let's see, can we get like some basketball reference stats? I mean, it's probably like very low.
So I'm looking at it. I mean, when he played on the Bucks, he's averaging like 3 points a game. He'd have to go to a game where he just got extended burn. His game log. His career high is 20. 20
where points is his G League stats?
He's not shooting well in the G League.
He averaged 14. It looks like he averaged 14 for the G League 2 years ago. Yeah. So G League Ignite, he averaged 14. On 11 shots, 47% from the field, 35 from three, 74 from the foul line percentage, that is, I'm saying. What else we got? 5 rebounds. This is 2 years ago at G League Ignite. 5 rebounds. Yeah. So that's his stat line from 2 years ago.
Nice. We'll go to this question. What do you guys think about our loss compared to Spurs and the Nuggets losses as well? To me, and I'll be quick before it cuts out, hopefully. I think the difference between those games is the Rockets before were 8-0 against bottom 15 teams in the league. Net rating wise, they blew every bad team out. With the Spurs and the Nuggets, again, those were both winnable games, but good teams they played didn't win the game. I thought they got out-hustled against the Spurs. And I'll say that's similar to what kind of happened in this game against Utah. But I just thought there was no excuse at all in the world to lose that game against Utah. Same with the Spurs game. Nuggets are a good team. They should have won that one too. But I just think the difference is Utah's a bad team. And that's a worse loss. But they're all winnable games. That's the main thing for me.
Yeah, I would just say like the defense and the rebounding just is what stood out. I mentioned this earlier, but like it just – to me, it was just unacceptable – for a team with this caliber, right? Like, you know what they're capable of, you know what they're about. I feel like they're showing you even in a, I wouldn't say too small of a sample size. Now we watched enough games now to feel like we know what this team is about. And I don't feel like they was about that last night. That just didn't feel like, you know, kind of overall, I don't want to really question effort. I feel like that's going a little too far, but it just didn't look right to me last night. And I'm not trying to do the back-to-back excuse. It just happened to be a back-to-back. But like, I hate the back-to-back excuse, but it looked like they was on the second half of a back-to-back. And that was disappointing. You know, I'm like, hey, man, y'all can at least get up and play defense and rebound. You know, it's one thing to not shoot the ball well. I can live with that. Like outside of Shingun, fourth quarter KD, Amen. Their others didn't really do much in this game. So that stood out. But yeah, defend and rebound.
Yeah.
I think it's what B. Scott said, right? You look at the games that we lose, and it's usually the games where we get beat at our own game, right? The Jazz out-rebounded us yesterday, got more offensive rebounds, got more second-chance opportunities, and that's why we lose, right? We're a team that's supposed to be our identity, And same thing with like the Pistons. They killed us. The Spurs killed us, right? Like all these, every time we've lost this season, it's been because the team has killed us at our own game. And so, you know, it's just a byproduct of like making sure we play, we control what we can control and play our own game. And I feel like we did that against the Jazz yesterday. The other thing for me though is like I don't live and die by each individual L. I want to win all 82, obviously, but I don't live and die by each game. And don't get me wrong, yesterday's L is probably one of the worst L's we'll have all year. Like that's just a bad one. But what I will say is, people don't want to hear it. Man, we were short staffed, right? It's not making excuses. It's just the reality of the situation. We were second of a back to back in like four of our rotation pieces. We did not play at all yesterday, right? I don't care if it's the Jazz, like. Sound of time, man. That's why when people talk about when leaving certain guys open because he can't shoot. I'm like, these are NBA players, bro. I don't care if they're the 30th seed or the first seed. Like, these are professionals. If you don't take them seriously, they can and will beat you, right? There's no such thing as a easy win in the NBA. That never, unless you're the Thunder, of course. I mean, and even then they've lost a game this year, right? So not necessarily to make excuses for it, because obviously it's a bad L and you don't want to lose that one. But at the same time, it's like, I'm not going to live and die by that one L, especially considering it'd be one thing if we were like 100% healthy and it was like not a back-to-back and we lost. But no, it's like those it's going to happen, right? That's why I bring up all the time, Brad. You know, I talk about it, the game early this year from the Sixers where their third string guys punched us in our mouth and we almost like we had to like go to OT the last second to win it, right? So it's gonna happen. I'm not really tripping on it that much. You just gotta make up for it. Just next time you play, next time that we play the Kings. I think we have a pretty easy stretch after the Kings. I want to say, because I think it's the Suns again, and then we have the Clippers next Friday, Thursday, I think, something like that. So, like, it's an easier stretch than what we're used to coming up. Just make up for it here. Make sure you win these games.
Yeah, Suns, Dallas on a back to back on the 5th, and. Those games and the Kings right before that. So, I mean, as you mentioned, you don't live and die by one L. And Derek, you made a great point. It was a weird night. The same day the Rockets lost to Utah, you had the Nuggets losing to the Mavs, who have been struggling this year. The Bucks lost to the Wizards. The Lakers lost to the Suns. You know, so at the end of the day, you know, Houston is still in the third seed. It's early in the year. You know, we're 18 games in. Hey, you don't live and die by one L, and it's all good at the end of the day. So it's not the end of the world. It's just one game they got flat, and you make up for it. But main thing is, again, they've been blowing out the bad teams. The net rating in those games against the bottom 15 teams is like a plus, I think, 19 or something insane like that. They're best in the league, even over OKC. It probably changed after the last game since they lost, but – point is that they've been taking care of the bad teams, and we just didn't see it in their last game. So I expect them to get back to taking care of the really bad teams, which we have in the next four games. So we'll see how they do.
Yeah, it's enough to feel like this is a blip, like based off of what we've seen so far from them. Like if this becomes a trend, then we're having a different conversation. But like there's nothing that we've seen so far that would raise red flags. It was a bad night. Flush it. Keep rolling.
Yeah, 100%. Again, if y'all have any questions, let us know. We're answering anything. We're 30 minutes into the show. If you're still with us, make sure you like, subscribe again.
Goodness.
Florida, y'all too, if y'all have anything to discuss. I mean, outside of Reed cutting up, I thought that was the craziest game ever. I was talking to my family all night about that. When he just put up 31 and beat them single-handedly, I couldn't stop smiling. Right before Thanksgiving too, but... yeah. Outside of that, if there's no questions from anybody, I didn't have anything else necessarily to discuss.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I thought the Reed thing, you know, we kind of looked at it a little differently, but I think all were okay with the idea of him starting. Like, I'm real curious on how y'all think and how our audience thinks that they're going to, or how they should, I should say, play this thing with Reed. Cause I do think the defensive stuff is like how much are y'all concerned about that? Like, are y'all willing to make? Do y'all look at it as more like a trade off of like, man, he provides you so much on the offensive side, on the offensive end of the floor, that you're kind of willing to work through the defensive stuff, or does it not really even concern y'all? Because that's the part that really concerns me more than anything, of the idea of him, you know, being, you know, a starter or playing starter level minutes. Like I love the kid, but that is my sort of reservation.
I think that Jazz game, it was just a particularly bad game for him defensively, because I thought up until that point, he has been playing some really good defense for the Rockets, not just in terms of like, because we know what he's been doing in terms of getting into the passing lanes, causing deflections, getting the plugs. He blocked Lauri Markkanen's shot. But you know what's crazy, Brad? So you know how you told me about the Fred VanVleet thing? I did end up talking to him today, and he brought, it just hit me. He brought up Reed blocking Lauri Markkanen. He's like, bro, that kid is crazy. Like, oh, wow. So obviously Reed can play defense. I think that Jazz game was just a particularly unique, bad game for Reed. And then on top of that, I think that you also run into that same conundrum where, like, if he, because Reed's going to, I'm not going to say bleed value defensively, but Reed is never going to be, like, his upside as a point of attack defender is going to be neutral at best. Right now, in terms of him getting into the passing lanes, causing deflections, blocking shots, different stuff like that, he can be elite at those things. But in terms of just one-on-one, mano-a-mano, locking the dude in front of you up, he's never going to be anything other than neutral. Right? That's just reality, especially against a guy who's like a real plus on that end. And so given that's where he's at, the appeal of him is the fact that he's going to give you so much more value on the offensive end. And that's one of the reasons why, I guess, I'm not going to say I don't want him starting per se, but like I do – I need us to make sure that we're still capitalizing on the things that makes Reed Shepard good. Because if you're starting him and then you're not really utilizing him that much, he's getting, you know, very little opportunities with the ball in his hands or off ball, and then you're going in there and you're asking him to lock up and play point of attack defense. Like, I'm gonna be real, he's probably not gonna be able to do that better than Aaron Holiday, for example, right now. And if that's the case, and you're not gonna play through him offensively to a degree, what is he doing out there then? You know what I'm saying? So that's another reason why it's like I feel like if you're not going to play through him, which is fine, I get it. You got Shingun, you got Katie, you got him in. Maybe, you know what I'm saying? If you're not going to, like, you don't have to necessarily pull him, but make sure he's one of the first subs so you can stagger him, right? Because then you can throw the ball into his hands in the second units and say, hey, take over, be a bit more aggressive here, because he's not going to be that guy defensively. So, but yeah, I said, just to kind of bring it full circle, I think he just had a bad game defensively. I'm not too worried about him as a defender.
Yeah, he did have a bad game, definitely, in that last game. One of the worst I've seen from him, actually. Yeah, they put him bad in a lot of on-ball actions. They were hunting him on screens. And Utah, they were just successful. And I do agree with Will's point. You know, Reed has gotten better defensively, in my opinion. And I know steals and blocks aren't really an indicator of how well somebody's playing. You know, we've seen Harden rack up a ton of steals and deflections, and he wasn't really locking up. But I think Reed, in that same sense, has also been playing really good defense, though. Like, he's not only staying in front of people, but he's just yanking the rock from people, and that's turning into, you know, transition points right away. So I think his defense has been an improvement. But at times, and B-Scott, to your point, I hear you, because he does look like a liability, especially when teams are out there hunting him. But I think it's kind of similar to Jabari Smith Jr. I don't think he's a liability, but teams do hunt him as well, defensively. So, I mean, they just got to step up when that happens. But yeah, I think he'll be fine. He's gotten better on that end.
He's came back by now. The defense was trash as a collective last game, but I'll say I think it was particularly bad from Reed and Jabari. I thought Reed and Jabari did not play that well of defense yesterday. Yeah. I think Tate actually did play some pretty good defense and played a really good connective piece game, gave a lot of effort on the glass. I think that Tate probably should have played a bit more than Aaron Holiday and Reed yesterday, just, you know, if in the interest of trying to win the game, because I thought he was really good in his minutes. And like I said, Tate is just he's a professional, bro. He doesn't play that much. He doesn't play often. He just checks into the game and gives you energy, gives you effort. And he impacts winning, right? Because I think we were better. I don't know what the plus minus was. I mean, they're probably still negative, but he probably is one of the lower.
Tate was five. Tate.
Oh, yeah. He hit the highest plus minus.
He had the highest plus minus on the team.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
He did good in his minutes. He did good.
I said that back to the eye test. We were a lot better with him on the court yesterday than without. I think he should have played more than 4 minutes in that fourth quarter, 13 minutes total. So, yeah, shout out to Team Cap. I thought he was really good for us yesterday. I think he was. Because our offense wasn't the problem. We put up – that's one thing I saw people talking about. Now, I feel like people kind of just get on the app after we lose and start venting and don't really want to, like, be rational. So I get it. But people were, like, in my mentions crying. about like we didn't score enough. We scored 125 points.
Yeah.
Like that's a lot of points, bro. The problem is we let the Utah Jazz put up 133. It was not our offense. It was the fact that we couldn't stop them from scoring. Like I said, a lot of that was, like I said, they picked on Reed early on. Jabbar got picked on a little bit. And then, like I said, Aaron Holiday isn't necessarily a bad defender, but I mean, he's not Jayson Tate defensively. And I think if you sacrifice some of that offensive, like that spacing, because Aaron Holiday can't space the floor, you sacrifice a little bit of that, throw out Jayson Tate to like really help secure the stop, secure the boards. I think the conglomerate of Kevin Durant, Shingun, and Amen Thompson would have been able to bring you enough home offensively. But who knows, man? Who knows?
Another thing on that, I haven't even realized this, but they put up 125, which is obviously really good in regulation, but they shot 10 of 34 from three, which is, you know, 29% for the best three-point shooting team in the league. Like two or three or more of those drop, and they probably win the game. But that's how close it was down the stretch. So, yeah, just one of those games at the end of the day. But defense was the issue. Again, you can't give up that many points and expect to win, especially when your team is shooting less than 30% from three, and they still put up 125 in an off-shooting game. So, I agree. I don't think that's the problem for this team. But, yeah, shout out to Team Cap. Shout out to Team Cap. I thought he was hooping. He was a big reason they ended up actually coming back in that game.
Yeah.
So, all right, let's see. We said we got to call Reed, Riverboat Reed. That is a new one. I haven't heard that. I haven't heard that one. But
okay.
I do think he's not as bad as gambling as Cam Whitmore was. He was awful at gambling.
Well, I was gonna say that's a horrible standard. That's an awful standard, man. Let's not do that.
Well, that's
hopefully nobody is.
Right. That's what I think of when I hear the word.
For sure.
For the steals, he had one in Golden State that looked really good. So I'm not worried about reading that sense, but yeah, I thought that was a funny comment. Appreciate that comment. Did y'all have anything else y'all wanted to?
I like this from Fat. I'm sorry, I can't. Yeah, really have to see what a fully healthy team looks like. I think Will was making this point earlier. Like they were undermanned, shorthanded, and they kind of have been. You know, especially if you look at the DFS situation and now Tari. Like I am excited to see what they look like both. Once they figure some of these things that we're talking about, once they figure some of these things out and they get everybody together, I am actually really hyped about that. I would agree with that comment. Like I want to see, I'm curious, really honestly, more than anything, of how it all like fits in. But you know, I don't know. I'm a little down on the fact that DFS is like we're kind of this far into it and don't really have as, you know, much more clarity than we did before, but I'm excited to see him fully healthy too. As well,
yeah. I have the 8-man rotation ready for the playoffs. I already know what it is, so I'm excited for that. So yeah, I'd like to see Dorian back too. Again, I think Chris White quote tweeted one of my tweets, and he said DFS was supposed to be ready, but by the start of training camp. So it's frustrating, of course, especially with no update. Hopefully, Tari comes back soon as well. But yeah, getting those two back
goes without saying.
Van Fleet. I think it's going to be an issue. Did it break up again? What's the last thing y'all heard?
You good. Getting those two back.
Okay, cool. Okay, good. Yeah, getting those two back, it's going to be scary. Again, they already have a really high net rating, best through 18 games in franchise history. It's only going to get better when they're fully healthy. So, yeah, I am excited as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We can see, they said it looked like Utah was a step ahead of us all night. Yeah, it was a slow game to start. Yeah, it was one of those games.
I didn't mind like tipping my cap a little bit. I thought Utah for as bad as they are, or as much as you let me say it like this, as for as much as I expect the Rockets to handle up on the Jazz, I did, like, you know, shout out to them. You know, they kind of, like, you know, think about the night that Keontae George. What was he that first night? Did he?
He was 0-6, had like 8 turnovers. That was the worst game I've ever seen from anybody. Yeah, he was awful. Yeah.
So I mean, good for them. You know what I mean? Good on y'all. They played a good game. Didn't like it. You know, but it's all good. You know.
Good for them.
Whose
minutes does Dorian Finney-Smith take? I know the answer to this. I want to see what y'all say.
Ooh.
Kogi's been losing his minutes more and more with each passing game. Looking forward to the film breakdown on Sadiq.
Yeah.
Honestly, I mean, I don't know. I don't know. The gambling, I'm not going to say that was a problem per se. It was, it was a lot of not being on the same page. That was the problem. And then not a lot of effort on the glass, right? We wrote the book on it. It's easy to score when you get a bunch of second chance opportunities. They got a bunch of them, right? We win the rebounding battle. We secure some defensive rebounds. We can go out there and score. And like I said, a lot of it was also just respectfully, they picked on Reed. They picked on Jabari. Those are two guys that they consistently picked on. And then they made really great. They played very unselfish. The Jazz did. They were finding the open shooter in the corner consistently. Different stuff like that. Like I said, it's gonna happen, right? Like it was bad defense. Don't get me wrong, but it's gonna happen. But to the DFS question, yeah, I think Okogie's been losing some minutes. I think Aaron Holiday probably loses some more minutes. But I mean, if you notice, we played eight men yesterday. So like you can play nine men in the regular season. You probably want to get that number closer to like 9 or 10, and then shorten to like 8 or 9 come playoff time. So.
Brad, who was your you said you already know your eight-man rotation?
Yeah, I got my eight-man rotation locked in. If it's not this starting five, you said about Reed for Dorian Finney-Smith, but assuming it stays the same, you got Dorian Finney-Smith, Tari.
I wanted to hear this.
Yeah. Did it stop?
Dorian Finney-Smith, Tari, and then go.
Steven Adams, the guy who leads the NBA in net rating right now, more than Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. He's best net rating in the NBA. Steven Adams, he's in the mix, obviously. But yeah, if they need some extra shooting, you got to throw Aaron Holiday in the mix. I like that they didn't play him enough in that Golden State series. I thought they should have thrown him in. So if you need some shooting, throw in Holiday. But it's either going to be him or maybe some Okogie, but what Okogie brings is Dorian Finney-Smith and a little bit more. So I don't see him necessarily playing, but he had a great start for us, and I commend him for that for sure. It's amazing depth. Can y'all still hear me?
Yeah, you're good.
Okay, all right. I got PTSD. I'm breaking up so much.
No, you did. All right, hey, I will say, look, I will say this too though about losses or the very few losses that they have. You know, this is, you know, good problems, rich people problems that we got right now. That I do hope. Look, I'm not saying I'm overly concerned about this right now. What I'm saying, what I hope is that we don't start to get like a book on how to beat the Rockets. Like, basically, beat them at their own game and Hunt, Reed Shepard, and Jabari Smith. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want it to be, let's just try to out offensive rebound them. And, you know, like, there feels like a formula for their losses right now. So, like, I don't want that I am guarding against, sort of like mentally. I don't know if that's a super concern yet, but, you know, I'm just hoping that don't be the case. That, like, hey, here's the book on how to beat the Rockets.
I like this question. Do you guys get frustrated with Alperen Şengün complaining after he thinks he gets fouled?
He's got a little Luka in him, man. He's got a little Luka in him. He does. I got to admit it. He's got a little Luka in him.
No, it didn't bother me. Yeah, it didn't bother me.
Doesn't bother me. Like he's
every star in the NBA is a diva.
Yeah, no, he's amazing. So that I care more about that.
I agree. He's getting to the line. That's most important. Only time it'll ever bother me is if he actively just needs to get back on defense and they're already running in transition and he's kind of just stuck on the call. It's like at that point we gotta get back on defense. But yeah, I mean, it is a little annoying, but I'm not going to lose sleep over it. What he produces offensively and defensively now is it doesn't even matter. So, yeah, it's not an issue for me. B. Scott, our guy, was saying he had me worry about the book theory as well.
Yeah, I mean, just there are common threads in their losses, you know. Yeah. They just, fortunately, they don't have very many of them. So I'll mm-hmm. take that.
Yeah, 100%. Side note, B. Scott, man, I'm looking at just.
What we got?
Man, look at you, bro. The setup is tough. The 1-2. No, I like it.
Oh yeah, no, these and these shout out to the teams. You know, the Texans sent this last year, the Rockets sent this one this year. The numbers represent the years they were sent. So they got me fresh. And then my girl bought me this Six Flags Astroworld like parking, kind of like a one of like parking signs from back in the day, from before they, you know, detonated the place. So that's like that's straight out of the actual real life Astroworld. So
when I get out this hotel, I gotta get my spot back together. I gotta get some stuff too. Stuff though, I give you a props. It looks nice.
Appreciate it. But
yeah, I don't think this one. We need to go for an hour. I need to get my setup, and so I'm not lagging as much. I thought we had a good discussion today, and we'll jump back again next Tuesday for sure. But the Rockets are gonna have an easy stretch. They have an easy stretch. They have the Kings. They got the Suns. I'll be at that game. Happy to be back home. Then they'll be playing Dallas as well, and then they have a 5-day break until they play the Clippers on the 11th. So go win those games, and I'll be the happiest man in the world. I'll let y'all close, whatever y'all want to say.
I'll let you go first, B. Scott.
No, I would co-sign that. Just like, and I think I mentioned this earlier, is just like, you know, stay true. You know, I feel like we have a very clear sort of idea. They're working through some things, but I feel like we know who they are. And the games that they lose, they sometimes sort of deviate from who they are. So play like yourselves, and you should be fine, especially against this, to your point, Brad, about the teams that they're playing. Play to your standard and what you are, and it. I mean, we really shouldn't have much to complain about or gripe about. Just go out there and do your thing. Don't be out there letting the Jazz, you know, not playing defense against the Jazz and, you know, letting them out-rebound you and that type of stuff. Don't do that.
Yep.
I was just gonna say, man. Shout out to everybody who's been helping support the shoe giveaway. I just want to make sure I shout out everybody else out for doing that as well. Much love to you. Much love to everybody who's been showing up to these live streams. Shout out to everybody who's been tapping in with Houston Live, with B Scott on the radio. Everybody, you know, doing their own thing. Shout out to everybody for tapping in with us. So we really appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Of course, every Tuesday. So we'll see y'all soon. Thank y'all for tapping in. That was an episode of the Rockets Collective.